Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. It's built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
And relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin, and I believe my lovely co-host Tiffany Braxton Belvin is on the other line. You there, honey?
Why do I believe I'm on the line? You know I'm on the line.
Well, you're never supposed to assume anything. This is Reality and Relationships, as I just said, and as you hear, my lovely wife is here wondering why I'm asking about it. But every Thursday night, and as I always say, it must be Thursday we're on, every Thursday night, we do our best to try to bring you a little different spin on relationships. We try to look at relationships from all different angles and give you our opinion and our thoughts on the things that will help strengthen your relationships, not just with your significant other, but relationships with your children, relationships at work, relationships in your neighborhood, just social situations that require a deeper understanding. This is what we try to bring to the table. And so we're going to jump right in with what we do. First and foremost, before I go any further, I got to give a shout out to my man, Rich Money, behind the scenes. And I know he's under the weather, but this is a dedicated brother to his dreams and to his beliefs. And I know he's hanging in there, but brother, we want you to get better very soon, and we want you to get yourself checked out. And if you need to get some rest, get some rest, brother. I'm saying it on air because you know what? We appreciate what you do, and I know you're dealing with some things, so our prayers are with you to get well very soon, brother. So shout out to Rich behind the scenes. So, my love. That's what I'm talking about. So, my love, how are you doing this evening?
I am okay. I'm a little tired because I've had a long week. As everyone knows, this is the Passover week. And I actually work in a...
Step a little bit, baby. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. There you go.
Okay. I've had a long week because this week is the Passover week. And for most people know, I work in a facility that's run by a Jewish family. And they weren't here for the majority of the week, so we had to hold it down. And it's been interesting. It's been a long week, and I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, that's what Fridays do. It brings that excitement of knowing that you got a couple of days off. I wish I could say I have that feeling about work. I am on spring break, so I'm not even going to complain. But I have been working hard on the Braven Publishing stuff with these days off that I've had. So. What else been going on with you, darling?
But you've had the week off, so you've been pretty good. Other than, you know, the work that you've been doing for Braven, you've been able to relax at home. I'm kind of jealous.
It's nothing to... Well, you relax when you're home. I'm actually home working. you relax. I actually have to try to get this work done. I wanted to take this time at home this time to really just reflect on this school year. It's been an easier school year than ones in the past, but my focus has really been on trying to take Braven Publishing to another level because I want more. I want more. I want more for the authors who come to us, the authors who have come to us. I just want to do things on a different level, and what I realize is you can't get to a different level until you take yourself there and the Lord open up the door. Well, I believe the Lord has opened up the door many years ago. It's just now getting myself lined up to be able to walk through the door. So, yeah, I'm home from teaching, but I have been putting the time in trying to make this business something profitable. It's been 3 years now, and I just feel that I'm working harder now than I ever have because I know more now. And we just had the release of our latest book, Wordplay 2, and I'm so excited by the responses that we've gotten from the poets in the book, that I can honestly say, I know we're moving in the right direction.
Right.
It's time to get out of New York. So, anything else going on with you, darling?
Well, like I said, it's been a long week. It's funny because this morning, I told you, I called KL a few times from work because I was a little afraid that I had an eye injury. This morning, while I was putting the dog away, because we have to put him away during the morning, he has separation anxiety, so if we don't put him in a small space.
Eye being removed. It wasn't just your eye. You had the eye being removed. Like, can't cut my eye out.
Honey, I did not. I was not dramatic like that.
I got a scratch cornea.
Well, anyway, honestly, I was putting the dog away, and I picked him up. He's a Yorkshire Terrier, and his foot got caught in my shirt. And as I was lifting him to take his foot out of my shirt, he was kicking his legs, and one of his paws hit me in the eye. His paw literally went in my eye, and it shocked me for a little bit. It stung. There was a little pain, and my eye teared up, but I thought it would pass. You know, I've been hit in the eye before. It's no big deal. I thought it would pass after a few minutes. So when I finally get to work and I'm sitting at my desk and looking at the computer screen and the bright light and my eye is still tearing and I felt like something was in my eye and I couldn't open it. So I went to the director of nursing and Kale,
she was joking on me. I forgot to tell you what she said. So she asked me, what's wrong with your eye, Tiffany? And I said, the dog's paw hit me in the eye. And, you know, she's Jamaican, so she got her Jamaican accent. She said, Tiffany, now why are you going to tell that story? You're going to lie on a puppy and say the puppy hit you in the eye. She said, you know big dog hit you.
Wow, they got me being Ike Turner on the job.
So it's funny, my other coworker said usually people say they fell down the stairs, they ran into the wall. You gonna tell us that the puppy hit you in the eye with his paw? And I'm thinking, how could I make that story up, that I got kicked in the eye by a puppy?
Wow. I'm mad that they blame me. That's it, I'm coming to the job and roughing off everybody now. I'm gonna be the real Ike Turner.
But I called KL a few times because my eye was really bothering me. So the director of nursing said, you know, put some saline in it. So I put the saline in it, and it made it worse. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to scratch my cornea playing with the dog. But it's actually feeling better. I put some saline in a few times throughout the day, and it got much better. So I think I'm okay.
I tried to tell you you're okay.
Well, honey, you know what? I don't listen to you anymore. You know why? Because ever since I broke my finger, and you said to me, oh, your finger's not broke. Do we remember that? I broke my finger.
Yeah, I remember. And I also remember that if you hadn't listened to me, your finger wouldn't have been broke. So I don't think you really want to go there.
We're not going to get into how my finger got broken, why. But my finger was broken. And the thing is, I straightened the finger by myself. It was crumpled up. I straightened it, not realizing it was broken. And I was moving it around. And I could actually feel the bone moving. I wasn't in pain. I think it might have been the adrenaline. But I wasn't in pain. I wasn't screaming. I was actually moving it. And I said to KL, you know what, honey? I think I broke my finger. He said, you didn't break your finger. If you broke your finger, you wouldn't be able to move it like that. I said, no. I actually think I broke my finger. He said, oh, please. You probably just sprained it really bad. I woke up the next morning. The finger was like three times its size. I said, no, I need to go to the hospital. Get to the hospital, and what did the doctor say? I broke my finger. So I don't listen to you, because I could have scratched my cornea. My cornea could be scratched. I don't know. I'm not an ophthalmologist.
Yes, I could have been scratched. I apologize. Yes, you're 100% right. You just tend to over-exaggerate things. But with the broken pinky or whatever, no, I'm sorry, the broken ring finger, yes, you are 100% right. But if you had listened to your husband ahead of time, you would not have broken that finger. But that's going to be in our episode of when your family don't like your wife or husband.
We'll discuss that. You know what's funny, honey? Speaking of going to the doctor, I needed to tell you this. I didn't call you. I called you about my eye, but I didn't tell you. The educational nurse on my job, she was telling us how she took her daughter, who's 14, to the pediatrician because she hasn't been feeling well. I think she has a touch of bronchitis or something. As they were leaving the doctor's office, there was, I would have to say, like a candy dish sitting on the reception desk full of condoms. In the pediatrician's office. And of course the educational nurse was really shocked by this. She went back to the doctor and she asked the doctor, why are these condoms sitting on the front desk in a pediatrician's office? And the doctor said that they're now required to make condoms available to the young people that come into the office. So any young person that comes in the office, they can dig in just like if they were pulling out a Tootsie Roll or mint and pick up a condom right at the front desk.
Wait a minute. You said pediatrician. That means there's kids in there, babies.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Wait. Now, that means a six-year-old could grab some condoms and put in their pocket and they're allowed to?
Yes. Yes. And you know what's funny? We did a poll of everyone in the office to say who was for, who was against. And most of us were against. I was very against. I know the condoms have to be available because, you know, our young people are going to do what they do. But I don't think they should be open where you could just walk over to the bowl and pick them up. And I think that there should be some type of discussion with the doctor. You go to the doctor and say, you know, I want some condoms. Okay, the doctor gives them to you. But to have them just sitting there for anyone to pick up like a pamphlet, I couldn't believe it. Especially
the pediatrician. What happened? I said, this is where we've gotten to now.
I know. I really couldn't believe it.
That's so. What's next? You gonna put the lube out too, and toys now? We're gonna get a private room if they want it.
We're gonna make sure they're comfortable.
Yeah. We do what you want, man. You want a private room, queen size or king size bed? Come this way, please. Come on, man. I mean, at what point does it become? Do we resort things back to the parents and let the parents make that decision for their children? And I'm not a believer that because you show kids condoms, it means they're going to go have sex. But I have learned over the years that it does help perpetuate certain stereotypes and certain stereotypical ways of thinking. And I'm not necessarily cool with presenting kids birth control options until we have an idea if the kids even have a strong understanding of the whole sex thing to begin with. And as a health teacher for God knows how many years, one of the things that I have learned over the years in the classroom is that the mistakes that kids make is because they are transferring information from each other back and forth. No one is actually going outside the circle and getting quality information. They're letting what sister has told them, what brother has told them, and in some cases, stupid parents have passed on stupid information, and the kids are running with it, and now they're presenting with condoms. Why are we exposing young children to condoms when they're most of the time not even considering having sex at these early ages? I know they're exposed to it, but come on.
You know what's funny? When I was younger, my brother and I, we found my parents' condom. I know if my mother's listening, she's probably going to scream. But we found our parents' condoms, and my brother used to blow them up and put water in them. He thought they were balloons. We actually thought they were balloons.
I'm not going to tell my story where I found a diaphragm I thought it was balloons. I didn't know what it was. It was a big balloon.
But I was appalled to think that they were just sitting on the front desk at the reception area with no, you know, discretion. I just think it should be a little bit more discretion. And I'm not the believer that, oh, it should come from the parents, it should come from family sex education, because I do believe sex education should be taught in the schools as well. Because I do know, not from my own experience, because my parents talked to me about sex, but I had friends, cousins, that their family parents did not talk to them about sex. And they either had to learn from friends or learn from experimenting, unfortunately getting in trouble. So I do believe that they need to learn from somewhere, and the doctor probably is the best person to learn from. But
I don't think it should be removed from school. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it should be, the opportunity should be started at home, only because when you're putting the condoms out there like that, you may be inadvertently opening up the door to a conversation at an age that a parent may not be ready to have that conversation with a child. Like I asked you, if it's a pediatrician's office, that means you have children, you have babies. And so being 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, and they're grabbing these, what is this, what are these? And you like put those down. It can inadvertently may open up a door that a parent may not want to open, especially when the kid gets around other kids and then sees them, and the kid goes, oh, this is what that's for. And because the kid saw them in the doctor's office, their curiosity was sparked with the door to something, or when they're watching television. I don't know. Certain things I believe got to start in the house. Now, of course, as an educator, I want things to come through me in the classroom, because then I know it's proper information, proper techniques, and all the things like that. But I think it's a very dangerous double-edged sword when we start to present those things to children so early. You're listening to Reality of Relationships, and these are the type of things that we talk about. So if you're new to listening in, and you're listening on the computer, you can call in at 646-200-3838 and just press 1 if you want to get in to ask Tiff and I a question. Normally what we do when we start the show off, the first half of an hour, we just like to catch up and just like to, as we say, settle in to get a feel for what's going on. Not that we're not up under each other every day, but we like to kind of just decompress and get a feel for each other's week before we get into tonight's topic, which we're going to discuss in a minute. And so just want you to and say thank you for you listening in. If you're listening in on the phone, remember all you got to do is press 1 to get into the host, and you can actually talk to the host. The chat room is open. I've been popping back and forth past the chat room to take a look. If you come by our office, by my page on Facebook, or the GQ Palace group on general question on Facebook, you can actually get the chat information. I'm about to post it up there. The chat room is chatty, but it's a whole long information. So just join in to GQ Palace general question on Facebook, and you'll have some information there. Or you can drop a little line if you just want to say a few things. So this is what's going on. So, baby.
Yes, sir.
Anything else going on? Oh, the news. We didn't talk about the news yet.
We sure haven't. We haven't. What I wanted to talk about, remember the guy, Christopher Dorner, that was on a killing spree for about a week, the former police officer? There was a police officer, a former police officer, who was fired from the police force in California named Christopher Dorner. And he he was on a killing spree, and they didn't catch him. They found him, though, because he was hiding in a house where he had actually tied up the owners, and he was hiding out in the house, and he ended up burning down the house with himself in it. So they believe he killed himself. I believe he had a bullet to the head when he was found. But there was an award. They had raised over $1.3 million a reward for his capture and or conviction. And this came from multiple entities. It was different individuals and companies that put together money in order to accumulate to this $1.3 million. Now there's a question of whether the money is going to be paid out, because Christopher Dorner was not actually captured. He was dead. So people are wondering, the people that were contributing to this reward, did they find a loophole not to pay the money?
Well, pay the money to who?
Pay the money to the people who actually reported where he was. Because what happened is the house that he was found in, the people that owned the house knew he was there. So they contacted the police, and the police showed up. But when they showed up, Dorner set the house on fire. So, of course, the people that reported him being there figured they're still entitled to the money because the police were able to find him. But what's happening now is there are a few different, like I said, a few different entities, whether individuals or organizations, that are now being asked, do they still want to contribute to the reward that was initially issued for his capture or conviction? So imagine you and I as a company, Raven Publishers, says, you know what, we want this killer off the streets, we're going to contribute $10,000 to his capture. And then he's found, and the people who show the police where he is say, okay, he's here, but when you get there, he put a bullet in his head. And then we decide as Raven Publishing, oh, we don't want to pay the $10,000 because he killed himself. We didn't get a chance to convict him or put him in jail.
Are they saying they have to pay the money?
Well, according to California law, it doesn't necessarily have to be a conviction in order for them to collect the money. So right now, it's going to the court system to decide whether the couple that reported where Dorner was is going to receive the money.
I got you. Listen, I ain't giving it up. If he killed himself, get that.
But what difference does it make that he killed himself? They still told the police where he was, and he was there. Mm-hmm. He just...
I got you. I feel what you're saying. I don't know. That'd be an interesting court case to sit in and watch, how you actually how to actually prove that. So, what else is going on in the news?
Okay, this one is very, very funny. Basically, a Miami appeals court reversed a ruling that allowed Florida pole tycoon John Goodman to adopt his longtime adult girlfriend.
To adopt? Wait. Hold on. You just messed my head up.
Let me explain what happened.
Yes, please.
Okay. John Goodman is a multimillionaire who founded the International Polo Club in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And he basically made headlines when he adopted his girlfriend in an attempt to preserve part of his fortune for her while negotiating a civil settlement. Now, basically what happened is John Goodman was in a car accident where a 23-year-old man lost his life. Somehow, their cars collided, and the car that the 23-year-old was in fell down a canal, and the car was submerged, and the young man drowned. Now, from witnesses' accounts, instead of Goodman helping or attempting to help the young man that was drowned, he left the scene of the accident. And basically what he was trying to do, knowing that he may be sued, knowing that it'll be a big thing, he's this big multimillionaire, he decided to start putting money in the names of all his children and also his longtime girlfriend, which her name is Heather Hutchins. She's 42 years old. Now, basically what he did was he paid her $5 million up front for signing the agreement to become his adopted daughter. And another $3 million by the end of 2012. And then she was received a lifetime payment valued at $8.75 million. Which would have been a total of $16.75 million over the time. And she could also go and request more money if she wanted to. So basically, he was trying to hide his money because of this pending lawsuit where the individual lost his life. What I find funny is that he wanted to adopt her as, I guess, a child. He didn't want to marry her. So how crazy is this? How could she even think, okay, this is cool because I'm going to get all this money? He would rather make you his daughter than his wife. Does that make sense?
Yeah, $16.7 million worth of sense.
That makes sense.
But I mean, it don't make no sense. But if it's only a name only, and he doesn't strike me as a moral person, and I can't believe that this is the first time that she's seen something that's immoral. So if she's rocking with him, the morals might be in question too. So, you know, that's something that you got to consider. They might not be moralistic people. So it's like, whatever, when you consider it.
Well, the bottom line is the Florida court said, no, you cannot adopt a 42-year-old woman and make her your daughter. And he's actually he's facing jail time and a lot of fines.
Didn't the guy hit him, or he hit the guy?
He hit the guy. And when he hit him, the guy's car went down the canal, and he drowned.
Yeah, there's lawsuits and all over. He's going to have to cut somebody a check, bottom line. He's going to have to cut a check. Well, listen, baby, it's the bottom half of the hour. This is Reality and Relationships, and yes, you are listening to Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and I am K.L. Belvin. We're going to go into our first break of the evening, but before we go, tonight's topic is supporting your significant other's dreams or hobbies. Now, the question is, do you? Why you should? And then where do you draw the line? So we're going to throw some things out of what we feel couples should do when they have dreams, when they have hobbies, and when and where that line is, why you should or shouldn't. And I want to discuss it because I was watching the Steve Harvey movie, Think Like a Man, what was it? Think Like a Man, or whatever.
Think like a man, act like a lady.
Yeah, and I noticed that in the movie, one of the characters had dreams, but the young lady had certain unrealistic expectations of him based on her own personal feelings, and they seemed to clash until it all came to some culmination. Now, it was cute for the movie, but one of the first things I thought when I looked at that, I said, you know what, that's not real. It's realistic in how they acted. It wasn't realistic in how they came to the conclusion so quickly, but it's the movies. So we're going to discuss that when we come back. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in. If you're listening on the phone, remember to hit 1 to get in the talk to the host. We'll be taking calls in a couple of minutes when we open up the lines. And if you're listening from the PC, please call in to area code 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get into the host. And you will be in queue for when we start taking phone calls, which will be very soon, as soon as we start the topic. So if you're online waiting to get in, please hold on. We'll get to you soon. And we'll be back in 2 songs.
need a cigarette. Cause you be off and then we on a day. I just don't get it, don't know why we do this, why we do this, boy. One day we be in a Cadillac. Be riding with my feeling back. Say I be breaking all your windows, keying up your door. Don't know how you do, do me what you do. But baby, ooh, you, you do it so good. And yeah, we break up, I break all your stuff. That's just how we love, we keep it so good. How you make me feel, can't nobody do that for me. And we gon' say some things, but I can't stop loving you. And oh, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it.
That is one thing at GQ College Radio that you will get on every show is outstanding music. Let me tell you something. 6 days a week, GQ College Radio at this same station, at the same phone number, has 6 great days of programming. And one thing that you will get during every show is outstanding music. Shout out to the DJ. Give yourself a round of applause, DJ. You know, welcome back to Reality and Relationships. And so we'll get started into the topic of supporting your significant other's hobbies and dreams. Do you support it? How far do you support it? And then where do you draw the line? So, honey, we have callers on the line, but before we go to the callers, I just want to get your thoughts on that because this is something that you and I discuss and talk about often. So what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's very important for your partner to be supportive in the projects that you're in. However, if you're a 45, 50-year-old thinking that you're going to be the next hip-hop star and you're walking around with your pants sagging and talking about, you know what I'm saying, it might be time to get a real job.
Now, pull my pants. What are you talking about? Oh, you were talking to me. I'm sorry.
But no, I'm serious. Like, it's funny because I know that sometimes I annoy KO to death with all my pageant stuff. And right now I'm in pageant mode, and I just finished ordering my evening gown, and I'm getting all the outfits together and talking about different things that's going to go on with the pageant. And KO supports me wholeheartedly. It's something I enjoy doing. It's also a part of my personal development. So it's not just something I said, oh, I'm going to go and look pretty and walk across the stage. No, it is part of my personal development. So I know KO realizes that. So he definitely supports me. And I support KO also with the things that he likes to do. But it also has to be realistic in whether what you're doing is providing any growth, any financial stability. It's something to think about.
I got you. And, you know, and yes, I do support what you do. You do get on my nerves with it because, you know, it is your thing. I think my biggest thing is that I always say, I want you to go as hard with everything else that you do when you're doing your pageants and other things like that. And anyone listening, please understand, your significant other's hobbies and dreams, even though they may be two very separate things, and a hobby is a hobby and a dream is a dream, but the support is still necessary. The support is required simply because if it's something incredibly special to them, don't discount it. Don't treat them as if, oh, I don't care. Now, you don't have to maybe be involved. I mean, excuse me, you don't have to be involved. And that's something that we'll talk to where you draw the line in a second. But you need to give them the support, even if it means giving them distance, stepping back and letting them do them. But you also have to be emotionally connected. Don't just drag your feet because it's not your hobby, and you're like, well, look, I'm letting you do you. I ain't trying to be involved. Yes, take an interest. Take some time out. You know, if you're going to the bar, you're going to the gym, but she has something that she's going on, even if you don't like it at all, or he don't like it, or whatever. Take time out to support your significant other and showing up. But when I say showing up, I mean showing up completely, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Don't just be there and have the OJs. Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. No, that's not going to work.
I've seen that.
Don't be there and texting, I'm sorry. Don't sit there with your phone out and your body's there, but you're showing in every other aspect you don't really want to be there.
You
even
know what's
something,
funny?
Okay.
I've been to events with female friends where we all come out in big numbers to support our friend because they've accomplished something that they've been working on, and they bring their significant other. And a significant other is, they act like they're oblivious to how much of a big deal it is for them to, you know, for whatever happened. And they'll sit up to the side, like you said, texting, really distant, not involved. And it's really sad to see that. I think when you have major accomplishments, your partner should definitely be there. They should be your number one fan. I can actually say that KL is my number one fan, and I'm his number one fan. I love to see my husband accomplish his goals. I love to see my husband growing at what he does. That makes me feel good. So I will support everything he does. There are some things that I say, you know what, maybe we should put that to the side. But for the most part, I want to see him grow. So I will be there for him in order to help him do that.
Yeah, it's very important. And it can start out as something very small. But if you guys don't sit down and really address things like this, what can happen is you can open up the door to such negativity. Because the minute that a person doesn't feel supported, the minute that a person feels subjugated to your feelings, that's when a person starts to become disillusioned in the relationship. That's when doubt can creep in, and then unhappiness is sure to follow. So you have to, and also with certain hobbies and dreams, you also have to be realistic with your partner. your partner, like Tiff said, you know, your partner may come in and say, I'm going to the moon. I want to be the first astronaut from South Jamaica, Queens. And you're like, okay, darling, I love you. I love that you want to get to the moon. I love that this is all of a sudden a new dream that you have come to. But honestly, I don't think that's realistic. So let's sit down and figure what else can we do besides the moon. How about maybe we just try to bronze or something else? And I know that sounds silly, but you have to come up with some type of alternative that you can place your energy into. Now, watching the movie last night, one of the things that I noticed is that you had a millionaire. I guess she was super rich and he didn't have anything. But he really did like being with her. But he was worried about how did he express to her that he has nothing. Now, here she has no man. And she's already upset that he's coming to the table with nothing. And it was, I want things kind of the way I want it. He should have. And it was a whole lot of judgments going on. And I'm saying, okay, this is not a hobby. He's talking about what his dream is.
Right.
At what point do you say, I want to support it, but at what point do you say no, because me trying to support your dream is going to affect my own? Now, that's something that we'll discuss a little bit later in terms of where to draw the line. But I want to get back to those of you that are in relationships where the communication is open. And
well,
if it's open, you need to fix that and get it open so you can be able to talk about this. Because if y'all don't have a clear line of communication, this could turn into something explosive very quickly. Very quickly.
See,
it can turn into an argument quickly. Yeah, baby.
With the movie, and we're talking about Steve Harvey's movie, Think Like a Man, that particular character, I feel, I had the impression more so that she was a gold digger. And even though she had her own...
You really think she was a gold digger with all that she had accomplished for herself?
Of course. Of course. Because, yeah, she had her own, but she also wanted a man to be on her level. And
yeah, but
is
that being a gold digger if you want someone that you feel is going to enhance what you already have, though?
And I think
she was going out just to use men. She just wanted somebody that matched where she's at. I'm just saying that you didn't think that she's a gold digger like that, though?
I think she was more concerned with how she would appear to other people being with someone less than her. So in a sense, yes, that she was looking for someone that she felt was on her status, because when her partner originally came to her with the limo and she thought he had money and she thought he owned his own business, she was happy with that. But the idea that he had a dream to own his own business, that wasn't good enough for her, which I find interesting, because he could be on the level that she probably wanted him to be on eventually, because he was working at it. And as like you said, at the end of the movie, you know, I don't want to give the movie away if people haven't seen it, but the idea is she saw the potential of what he could become.
But he made a move, though. But I'm saying, and I don't mean to cut you off, is that, but there's also movement on his part to make positive moves to where that could be in place. Like, I feel everything that you're saying except for this thing. If I've gotten to a certain point in my life, I don't necessarily know if waiting for someone who dreams may require years, I don't know how fair that is. That's when you really got to sit down and have strong communication, and you got to weigh the love that you two have for each other. Because, I mean, let's take us for example. I want to go back to school to work on my PhD or a second master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
But before I would undergo that, if I knew it's going to take me 2 years for one, 4 years for the other, I have to at least make a choice if that's going to be worth what we're doing together to take that 2 or 4 years. But before we go any further, we have a caller on the line. Is that Ina? Ina's on the line? Or is that a mother-in-law? Ina, you there?
Yes, I'm right here. How are you, Key? Tiffany,
I'm
hello.
Good to
hey, Mommy.
Yeah, you know what? I think you know what? was tonight. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. But, yes, you're right. I'm going to always be listening as long as y'all guys are here. And I was calling on the condom thing, but that was so long ago. And I was going to remind you, do you remember where I was working at that time?
I don't.
Maternity services and family planning. That's why I had so many condoms.
Okay. My mother is not quite, mommy. Of course, you don't think you are a freak.
Like, I want to sing that out. I don't want to figure out a bunch of times later.
I just want to clarify that for the Department of Health. Yes, maternity services and family planning.
Okay.
You was bringing work home with you.
Yes, I had loads of them. I did demonstrations at that time for teenagers and adults. Yeah.
God, she wanted to straighten that out. She said, I got my daughter on here thinking I'm getting it in. I don't want these people thinking I'm nasty.
So let me ask you, Mommy, since you're on the line and you were calling in reference to that, how do you feel about the condom sitting at the front desk of the pediatrician's office?
Inappropriate. Yeah, it's an age level for that. I would think between 13 and 14 and up is appropriate age. But pediatrician, that's usually up to 12, if I'm not mistaken, if they have maybe even 13, yeah. But
they specialize in the kids. They can see older kids, but they specialize in the younger kids. I'm with you, and I got a problem with a 6-7-year-old being able to be exposed to the condoms, because I think it opens up the door to things that I believe could turn out to be something negative.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a mental process, and we have to be very mindful of children's mental process, and it's not enough going on here in the United States with that, with their mental process. Everybody wants to be an expert and a know-it-all, but they're really not considering how the child processes information on things, because it's not that difficult. You know,
yeah.
It really isn't that difficult if it's given some thought. But they really don't give any thought to that.
They don't stop and consider what other kids could bring to the table, too, which is the point I was making earlier, is that once you open up the door to the child to be curious, and now another child or a movie or a video opens that door, you now have inadvertently pointed that kid down a road that they might not have went down on their own or with their parents' knowledge, because now they want to say, well, I saw these at the doctor's office. Now I see these at the movies. And if that information is not channeled back to the parent, this child may be getting into things that they just wouldn't have on their own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And what really gets me is how unaware parents are. I'll just give you a little brief story. I worked in a school, and I won't name the school, but I worked in a school, whereas their agenda was to make the community more aware and tolerant of gay students, which is, you know, everybody has their own opinion. That's not the point. The point is that they never gave the parents any information that they were going to have an event at the school where the boys, who were very supportive of the administration and really felt the administration's concern, didn't realize that on this issue, they kind of had a hidden agenda and had the boys dress up one day as girls. Well, because of the community it was, the boys kind of went for it. Like I said, they were very close to administration, but they never informed the parents at all because they thought they could do what they wanted to do. Make a long story short, one of the boys started crying. This is a teenage boy, because during the time he was supportive of the event to support the school, they all dressed up like girls, but he didn't realize, or it never dawned on him, that his friends were going to be taking pictures with their picture phones and posting it on the internet. And when he realized what was about to happen, it all of a sudden hit him that wasn't a decision that he needed to make, even as a 15-year-old by himself. So things are going on that parents don't know. And I'm saying that because it goes with what you said. I totally agree with you that children can't make these decisions. When they look at it, you know, they see things differently. Things come differently, and it comes slowly. And they need guidance, and parents need to get more involved in these things and speak out about them.
And it's funny because the education mm-hmm. nurse, my job, she was saying that when it comes to the sex education talk that the kids can now have with their doctors, the doctors will now ask the parents to leave the room because
yes.
the child has right to privacy. But it's like you don't know what's being discussed with your child that you might need to address later on, which is interesting because you're still the parent and you need to be able to address those things. So I find it interesting that they try to leave the parent out of some of the decision-making process, like having condoms available in the pediatrician's office. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the hope is that conversations like this will open up those doors and hopefully folks that are listening tonight will go and have We'll have conversations like this and be able to have those talks within circles or with their kids. These things that we got to do is in our writing, in radio, in just our everyday life. Just like Tiffany said, she had this conversation at work. We're having this conversation right now. The hope is that people listening will get off the air and then have that conversation about anything that we talk about, but definitely an issue like this, because these are the things that you go to your councilman with when you want to get laws changed or you want to get things done. And this is also the reason why we vote for certain people who hold our agendas in place, because people, you know, want what they want, whether it's gender issues, racial issues, whatever. People are going to want what they want, and there's going to be people who are in support of condoms being there, and that's fine if that's what they feel. But we have to be able to have open dialogue, open debate, and then try to make the decisions that are best suited for the children one way or the other.
Yeah, I agree. and hopefully it'll be more, because right
yeah.
now it's a dearth in it. It's a real dearth in communication about these things, and our community is kind of, you know, all over. Every place is just, like, falling apart. So, yeah.
We can try to prepare it one step at a time and hopefully hope for the best. I know we want to thank you for calling in tonight. Continue to listen, and we definitely enjoy having you, so we definitely hope that you're going to stay on and listen to the continued conversation.
Yep, I'll be right there listening. Yep.
Thank you for calling in. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
So, you know, as we head into 9 o'clock, guys, you know, we're going to continue this conversation on supporting your significant other's dreams. But that the situation with the condoms, we may come back to that another week, because there's a whole lot more that we may bring to the table, because, again, all that is connected to relationships. And we don't want people to get sidetracked one way or where we only give out partial information, but that is definitely something that we will talk about. And we
yeah.
do have a future show is, when do you have the talk? When do you actually discuss birth control, sex, and things like that? And if you're in a religious household, how do you broach that subject when you're saying wait till marriage, but everyone around your child is doing it? So we're definitely going to have a show that covers the talk. When, I don't know, you just have to keep listening for future shows. But back to this show here, you know, dealing with your significant other's dreams, we're going to come back after the break. For the last hour, we're going to talk about where to draw the line. And when it's far, or what happens when your dreams collide? What happens when your dreams bump heads? Whose dream takes precedence? If both of you want something that's going to take away from the relationship so you both can't have it, what do you do? Because some of these sacrifices can find a way of exploding later on if things don't turn out the way that you thought they were going to turn out. So when we come back, we're going to discuss, where do you draw the line, and what do you do when your dreams collide? This is Reality and Relationships. We are here every Thursday, God willing, from 8 to 10. Also, you guys that are listening in on the phones, feel free to hit 1 talk to the host. Let us know that you want to come on and ask a question. We'll put you on the air and talk to you. We don't bite. As long as you come on and be polite to the host and hostess. After coming in here rude, you might catch a foot. You know, it is what it is. But this is Reality of Relationships. That's Tiffany Baxter Belvin. I have her wonderful husband, KL Belvin. We'll be back in two songs, and we thank you for listening.
When I think about it,
baby,
all I can do is shake my head. Cause there ain't no explanation on this earth. Oh, you must be heaven sent. With your crazy, 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 crazy love. Boy, you got me so messed up.
I just wanna sing for you, babe.
Now
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. It's your host, Tiffany and KL. And did you hear Tiff's mom calling to make sure she got the story straight? I got those condoms from work. Don't put that out in the air, have people thinking different about me. I thought she was going to call up and order up a beat, and I was like, woo, you got to get whipped on it. I'm just saying. I ain't mad at that. But welcome to Reality Relationships. It's Thursday night, and we're discussing the significant other's dream. Now, what I want to talk about, and I just posted this on Facebook and on Twitter, and actually if you're listening and you want to connect with us on those social networks, author KL Belvin, Raven Publishing on Facebook, as well as Making Marriage Cool Again are our sites on Facebook, GQ Palace on Facebook, GQ Palace General Question is the group. So make sure you go to all those Facebook outlets to check out everything that's going on. Also on Twitter, we have Raven Books, GQ Palace, author KL Belt. So you can definitely find out Making Marriage Cool Again. We actually don't have to Make a Marriage Cool Again on Twitter because it was a little too much. Raven Books and author KL Belvin. So now you have a way to stay connected with us. So we're talking about what happens when your significant other's dreams and your dreams kind of clash. Also, where do you draw the line with your significant other's hobbies or dreams? When do you say, nah, I'm not going to do that? So, baby, before you answer that question, I believe we have a caller on the line. Is there Elijah on the line? Elijah, you there?
Hey, I'm here. What's up, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
All right.
Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
All right. So what say you on this, the topic?
Hey, I'm not sure if that was you or someone else who used the phrase, don't put that out in the air about me, but... It's a perfect segue into my chain of thought here.
Okay.
Meaning, what you put out in the air yourself a lot of times defines your mentality, your attitude, and sometimes dictates your behavior. So
yes.
if you put out in the air that your dreams collide and that there's no way to get around it unless one of us give, then that's limiting you, I believe, from considering other possibilities. And I say all of that to say that I don't believe in a relationship when two people are working together that your dreams never ever come to a point where they collide so much that you can't work around it. And for example, you know, it's a give and take. So like, I guess you're saying if I have a dream of becoming a doctor or whatever, and my wife have a dream, she want to do such and such, well, then what you simply do is that you find a way to work around that. One of you might have to go to school, if you got kids, one of you might have to stay home during the day while one work, and when that one get home, that one takes over and you go to school at night. There's always a solution for every situation if you believe that it's possible. But if you step into it thinking, nope, there's no way around it, one of us has to give up one of our dreams, well, you're heading down for a road of disaster. But if you take time out to think about the different scenarios and possibilities, you can always, always, always come up with a solution that's going to satisfy both parties. The whole thing is it's going to require some sacrifice on both parties. If you're dealing with a selfish person who has a dream but is not willing to make some sacrifices for his partner's dream, well, then, you know, that's another whole show, another whole subject, another whole situation. But there's another situation where you got two couples working together that you can't come to a solution and find a way to both of you realize your dreams.
I agree. So we're going to have to screen you because you can't be stealing my material, brother Steve. You know, they say great minds think alike. But that's why I let you walk. I was like, did he just steal my notes? Yo, did he just peek in here on my computer and look at my notes? But actually, what you said makes a lot of sense. And actually, it's really educated sense. So I'm glad you put it out there because that's exactly where I was going with it. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up, because I'm in total agreement with everything that you said, but here's what I was looking at, brother, which happens, especially in African-American communities, sometimes privileged communities, and in low economic situations, is that when there's limited income or a limited ability to place money in multiple places. Sometimes dreams are augmented by the resources that are within that household, and love should be enough to conquer all. But it really requires what you're saying. But what I wanted to discuss, and I'm glad I have you on the line so I can actually ask you, what would be your opinion to those couples who say, well, Elijah, we don't have the finances to fuel both of our dreams, and we can't split the finances for both of our dreams. What do we do if we both want it? Now, I have a feeling of what the answer is, but I'm going to let you, since you so eloquently put it. So what would be your answer to that, to someone
you
who said
be surprised, that? You might be surprised at my response, which I'm going to give you right now. I have to admit, I'm a little bit biased in situations where I get what these people who might present that to you are saying, but I'm a little bit biased, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I come from a situation in the family where pretty much most of my early young life, you know, I mean, my mom did the best she could. There was tragedy, there was adversity, and the majority of my adolescence, teenage years, we spent on public assistance, raising Gowanus Project, on welfare. And so when I hear people say certain things about we don't have, and I was able, because in today's society, I'm just sorry, there are, it's just a matter of researching, it's a matter of not giving up, it's a matter of making the effort. And out of that situation, I was not only able to finish junior high, finish high school, but I was able to go to college, complete college, and I didn't have a dime or a pot, you know the saying about a pot and then window to throw it out of. So I'm a little biased there, because I believe where there's a way, it may take longer now. See, that's the whole thing. It may take longer for those people who are in them situations, and I get it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not naive to the situation. When you're married, you got children, and at some point things require money. But there's enough resources if you really, really, really want it bad enough that you can make it work. So yeah.
No, I appreciate it. No, I appreciate it, because, again, you stole my material, man. Like I said, we don't have to speak.
I came up.
I get to call it once a month.
Right. So, you know, I hear people, and you know, sometimes it hurts my heart, because I hear my young brothers and sisters talking about, well, I can't go to college, we don't have money. No, that's not true, man. I mean, it may not be the Ivy League, it may not be what you know, may have aspired a dream to be, but you know what? You know, education is education. A dream is a dream. And so there's always, always a way. It may take a little longer, but, you know, you don't give up on that.
I think what you're saying, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me, I think you also are saying you have to qualify your dream, too, is that, you know, if you want to go to Harvard but that money's not there, there's no reason why you can't go to CUNY and get an education, and then after you start working, you can now, say, get your master's degree at Harvard or get your PhD somewhere.
You know, sometimes you gotta crawl. You gotta crawl before you walk. You hit it on the head. You know what I'm saying? You go to that little junior college. You do whatever you do, and you be the best junior college CUNY attending person you could be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nowadays, a lot of times, you know, especially when it comes to the college scenario, all a employer really is looking at a lot of the times when it comes to the undergraduate education is that you're able to complete something. College degrees or dime a dozen. It's really that master's and that PhD. And once you establish that, get your bachelor's, you go out, you bust your butt, you get a job, and you pay for the rest. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
That's right. Because I share that with my young men's group on Saturdays. I explained to them that I am the product of South Jamaica, 40 Project, South Jamaica, Queens, and I was a product of a single mother. I didn't meet my father until I was 39. And one of the things I explained to them is that it's really the mindset. One of the things my mother shared with us on a regular is that, yes, we may live in the projects, but we don't think like that. And that thinking stops when you get to the door. So she was going to allow us to take on a certain mindset that we couldn't do anything. And so once that was instilled, now as you go up that ladder and you run into other people who are willing to refresh your thinking and give you ways to get things done, you get it done. So I got my bachelor's, I got my associate's because I messed up in college times, then I got my bachelor's, and then eventually I got my master's with the help of my wife, who was the person editing and taking care of my papers. So what you're saying is definitely correct, because we have to make sure that we put things in a respectful manner and build a plan on how we're going to get it, because anything is obtainable. Anything that you want is attainable if you can think it, and then as we spoke earlier, speaking it into existence, because now that you have the plan, you got to actually convince yourself, hear yourself say, I will be, not I can't, not I might, I will be, or I am going to, and then go out and do it. And a lot of folks don't know how to put that into place because they weren't taught it. But hold on, Elijah, before you finish, because we could go on, all night. But we have another caller. We have another caller online. But Elijah, I want to tell you this, bro. I do hope that not only will you continue to listen, please call in, because it's refreshing to hear a brother make just the claims that you're saying, because younger brothers as well as other callers need to hear that, because there is nothing we can't do with a strong belief in God as well as a plan that works.
Right. I ain't going nowhere. I've been meaning to call in for a minute, though. But, you know, get caught up. But go ahead. Do what you got to do.
We have another call on the line, but I just want to say you're open to call anytime, brother, because it's definitely refreshing to hear a brother say the things that you say. Plus, you're stealing my material, so I know when you're on, I can go get something to eat, go to the bathroom, and everything. We good. Hello?
You are too much, honey. You are just too much.
I'm saying, I like what the brother's saying, because we need more brothers who actually sound like that and speak like that who understand it, because I hear too many brothers and sisters quitting on each other before they even get to that point. And actually, anyone listening, Elijah's right on point where I was going. And I know how my wife feels. I know she feels some of the same way. But before we go any further, we have Rakim on the line, I think it is.
How you doing?
Brother Rakim, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I was just I'm listening to the show, and I heard what the brother said, and I wouldn't want to say I disagree with him, but I want to throw some things in the mix about being a married person with children.
Okay,
I really believe that, you know, when you have it, like, having a dream is a selfish ideal anyway. Let me explain myself, because when you lay down at night and you close your eyes and whatever you dream about, it is what your mind desires on that dream. And me having kids and me and my wife and the way we set our schedule right now, you know, only thing that we will try to further our education or further our job status would be for we be able to provide for our children. It wouldn't be for me for be uplifting of my own self, my own mind or whatever. It'd be that way I could be an establishment for myself, for my children. And the way that he was speaking of was saying, like, okay, let me defer to my dream so you can take care of your dream and then I take care of my dream. But what happens when your children's dreams is being involved with that?
Well, let me speak on that, because let me stop you right there. Let me speak to that a second. But I'm going to pull something for what Elijah was saying, though. It's a matter of time. See, because as long as you don't constrain yourself to saying, I want something by a certain time, all of your dreams, the child's dreams included, can come to fruition. It's just going to require planning. Because if your dream is one thing and the wife's dream is something else, and now the child has their dream, if all of you make sacrifices for each other, then things can be done. Now, is it going to take longer, possibly, for one of you? Maybe. Is it going to maybe require more of a sacrifice from all of you? Possibly. The question is, if the dream is strong enough, and like you said the dream is a selfish thought initially, yes, initially. But once you bring it to the family table, once you get to your significant other, it stops being a selfish thing, because now she says, I like that, and I want to see you achieve that, and I'm going to help you get that.
Yes.
And her dream, and you doing the same for her dream, it stops being selfish, because both of you have taken ownership of the outcome.
Now, when we get deeper into it, let's say, for example, right, I'm a comedian. I don't know if your callers know me. I am Chicky Chick. I'm the one that host a show on Wednesday nights. I didn't want to bring no comedy into it because I want to keep it serious, but I am one of the hosts on Blog Talk Radio, GQ Palace. And the reason why I was saying is I am a person that's dealing with that right now. I have a day job where I'm a doorman. I do comedy. I got my own catering business. But everything that I'm doing is engineered towards my family. Now, I was giving you an example why I could be a bigger comedian than I am if I decided to defer the dreams of my family and be selfish myself. And then when it comes back down to say, baby, I want to be a comedian, a bigger comedian, because I want to make more money so I can provide for my family. But providing for your family in those ways, the more money I have is not going to be able to replace the time I'm spending with my children. So what I'm saying is, if I'm with a wife, now only I'm only talking from the perspective I'm in a relationship, I'm married or with kids, because now when I'm going to school, there's only two things you go to school for: to either make more money or to educate yourself mentally.
Okay.
So if I got a dream that's only mental, that mental dream has to be deferred if it's not providing anything that's going to establish the family as being great. Now, what I mean by this is, if I sit up here and say right now, all of a sudden, say, baby, I want to go to school because I want to all of a sudden be an engineer. I want to put an engineer in my background. Me attaining that, if it ain't about money, that is a goal that I'll make that's self-motivated so I can have an establishment on my own resume. That has nothing to do with my family.
Well,
so now,
again, do you want to, Tiff, you want to think about that?
Well, I was going to say, I agree, because there are a lot of sacrifices that Kale and I have made in respect to what was going to be better for the relationship. And there are times that I've deferred my dreams. And honestly, it's so funny that in 2010, I was preparing to compete in another pageant. And 2 weeks before the pageant, I received a letter in the mail that I was going to get a job offer. But in order for me to get this job, I had to go to the interview, which was scheduled the same time that I was supposed to be in Louisiana for the pageant. So KL and I went back and forth. Of course, I would have been making more money, and it would have been better for us as a couple to take the job. The only reason why I did not take the job and go on an interview is because so many other people had invested in me going to this pageant. Now, to give you a different scenario, last year I was in the same predicament. I was preparing for a pageant and I received a job offer. The date for me to start the job was during the time that I was supposed to be at the pageant. Except for this time, I accepted the job offer because no one else had invested. I had did the investment, so I was out the money that I put in for the pageant. But I had to look at it to say, you know what? I need to make the sacrifice, because the sacrifice is better for me and KL as a couple, so that I can take this job and we can be financially, or have more financial stability. So there are some times that you do have to say, you know what? What do I need to sacrifice in order to make it better for the relationship? Or what dreams do I need to defer in order to make it better for the relationship?
Let me jump in and say this. And I think, Brother Rakim, I first want to commend you on all the things that you're doing to bring to your family and the things that you need to do. And any sacrifice of things that we know could maybe do better for us is tough. So I just want to commend you and tip my hat to what you're doing. But I'm going to say this, is that remember, a deferment is not necessarily a stoppage. It's just putting it on hold. And that's the key, is that we rearrange the times. And this is what I'm saying, is even if your child has dreams, if you and your wife say, this year or the next 2 years, you're going to do this, and then I'm going to piggyback on that and do this and this, and our kid is going to do this. Now, it may require some very strategic planning. But again, what Brother Lockyer is saying, which is the way I feel, and I think you also, and just listening to you, I think if it's worth it in the end for both of you to be able to get it, you'll find a way. Even if it's difficult initially, like anything else, we're built to adapt the situation. And
yeah,
I'll give you an example of Pursuit of Happiness, because we used to show that movie when I worked with young men that were assigned by the courts for child visits in the city. I used to say, I'm not going to show you the whole movie, but I want to show you a couple of points. Two things. One, when he said, I had to find a way to get done what other folks had 8 hours, I only had six, because he had to get out of there in time to get to the shelter so he could get on the line and get a room for him and his son to lay their heads down.
Yeah.
Now, he could have easily said, nah, man, everyone else got 8 hours, I'm not doing this in six. But the idea of the opportunity was enough to drive him, because he knew the opportunity was going to create more and a better situation for him and his son. And so he put his plan into work, and sometimes he it backfired because he didn't get there in time to get a room. He slept in the bus station. But there's no way that he knew at that moment that he would be a multimillionaire later. It was the dream. It was the dream of what he wanted that kept him focused. And then also the conversation that he had with his son when he said, when you have a dream, you have to protect it even from me, because people will try to push on you what they can't do by telling you you can't do it. And it's very important to hear a father and son speak like that, because he's saying, even from me, your father, protect your dream, because I may say, we don't have enough money, so you can't dream. He's saying protect it and find a way to go after it. So I think we have to make sure that we bring to the table all of our mental, spiritual, and physical resources, and then create solid plans when we have multiple dreams on the table.
That, I mean, that was how you broke that down. Was, it was so profound, man, because it made me understand. See, like, this conversation could keep going deeper, because it's one of the reasons why people have divorces. It's one of the reasons for people that cheat on each other. It's one of the reasons that people ain't happy. But what, you know, just getting back to the perspective of what I was saying, remember how he was driven? He did not want to sleep in that car with his son no more. He did not want to be his son. You know, he was driven by another person. But his dream included another person's dream. Well, he was saying that, I know my son going to dream one day, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I pursue his dream so he can have a dream. So now I'm thinking from a perspective where if I'm sitting in a place where I'm already taking care of things, and somebody dreaming, so what, like for example, I played sports when I was in high school. I played football, baseball, and basketball. And I go, hey, you know what? They got to send my protein. I'm about to spend all this time because I know that I was supposed to do this. That was my dreams in high school. I deferred it because we had a family. Now I want to pursue it. That's something that you never let go. Now, when we start talking about, when you're saying, like, my wife, she's a nurse's assistant. I always tell her, I said, babe, I want you to go to school to be a nurse, because what you're doing right now, you're doing a nurse's job, not even being paid by it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to instill the confidence in you. What I'm going to do myself is sacrifice so that our daughter and my son would not be losing anything, but be gaining something when you finish. But if my dream ever came into the way where my daughter be like this, I ain't have nobody to help me with my homework, or mommy wasn't here to receive my recital, her dream is not deferring to my daughter's dream. Because now what my daughter's doing, from that time her mother is not there, she's seeking another avenue, another person to provide for that. And no money, no dream, no education, no doctoring can be able to replace that. I'm talking from the perspective of a kid who did not have his father, a kid whose mother died in 1986 of AIDS when I was 7 years old. But anything that my mother was ever saying she was doing for me, and you're talking about a person who was a drug dealer who once told his person, I was doing this for my family, and when I was gone all that time, it did nothing for my family. So it was like, you get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is sometimes you could make up a dream. Sometimes you can say this is a dream of mine, knowing that that dream is not providing for everybody else that's around you. That dream is self-motivated. That dream is self-profitable. And I was only speaking from the perspective, not from everything that you plug up in your topic, from the perspective of what the brother was saying about, okay, we take in charge of what our dream is. When he threw in the kids in that turn only comes up if there's time to do it, not taking away from the children.
Well, I respect that, brother. And I respect the fact that you called in and offered it. I think, like anything else, what you and Brother Elijah are bringing to the table, and what Tiff and I are trying to do every week, is to open up the doors so folks can hear the dialogue. Now, is there any solid right or wrong answer? I mean, every family has its own ebbs and flows, and every man and woman has their own relationships, and they know how much, or they should know how much their relationship can bear. And if they don't know, they might need to dig in a little bit more, and 'cause there's always more stress that we can handle than we believe. It isn't until we get through it that we realize it, but the Lord built us that way. A lot of us just don't consider it, because when you look at what others have overcome, and I think that was something also that the brother was saying too, that I agree with, is that, and yourself, just with the story that you just gave us, is that we have to look at, we have been through so much that there is more that we can go through, but we have to use every fiber, every part of our being sometimes to correct mistakes that might have been made, as well as if we defer the dream then, now may not be the time to go back and claim that. Now, if given certain choices that you make, the opportunity is there, well, then you take it. Like I tell Tiff, Tiff had a pageant a few years back. Now, overall, the pageant was not a financial success, but I asked her one question when she was done. Would you do it all over again? She said yes, and I said, we're good. Now, financially, there was things that I felt as her husband, I should have did in terms of, don't use this money for that. I'm going to take that, put that here. But we didn't have that conversation then. So then after the fact, when we both look back, I'm just kind of kicking myself because I'm like, well, if I had maybe stepped in and did something then, it could have changed some things now. But at the end of the day, it was a great experience for her. It opened up certain doors for her. Now we readjust from the mistake, and we do what we have to do now. But first, admitting that the mistake was made. See, I think like anything else, what I'm hearing from you and what I'm hearing from Elijah, what Tiff and I talk about on a regular, it all starts with that communication with your significant other. And dreams are as much about communication as anything, because you could come through the house tomorrow and be like, yo, I'm going to L.A. to pursue my dream as a comedian. I ain't come back till I make it. Now, you put that out there to her, and she can look at you like, okay, you walk out that door, this is done. So the communication now becomes a battle, whereas if you come in and say, honey, let's sit down and see what we can plan, these are the options. You put your options on the table, and like a chess game, strategically place the pieces where you need them. Well, like in anything, if I plan for it, then I know what's going to happen before it happens. And hey, you know, to our children, then our children are not only prepared for it, they're not worried about mommy and daddy not being there on a particular night because they already know that you're not going to be there, so they know to call uncle, or they need to call auntie, or they might call a friend to get that information because mom and dad taught them on Tuesday night, we don't get in until 7:30, so if you need help between 7 and 7:30, here's the list of numbers that you can call to get some help. Because you've already put the resources in your child's hand and taught them how to use it. Hey, so there's all the way.
Now, you know what's so funny, man? It's like you just read me so much, like, because you took that so much. Like, me and my wife talk about, like, say if I ever got to the Kevin Hart status, you know, my wife bug out with me and she say, I'm leaving your ass. You know what I mean? She say, like, because I can't go through it. You know what I mean? Because she knows, and this is the thing, like, I love doing comedy, man, but I have, like, a if you want to use, like, terms, a narcissistic histrionic kind of, I know what it would do to me if it was ever, chicky chick, I already know what it do to me. So what happened is, I sometimes calm myself down in my avenue, and I say, like, it might be nice when God say, hey, you know, like, Wednesday nights in my house is family night. And I do the radio station at the time. We'd be at home. My family be involved with it. We watch movies. I make dinner. And, you know, sometimes I get called like, hey, chick, we got a show. And it takes a lot for me to say, nah, man, it's family night. But what happens now is all them guys respect that family night for me, so they won't call me. They won't put that pressure on me.
You're teaching them how to deal with you by being consistent in what you do as a father.
Exactly.
Let me leave you with this before we end this. Let me leave this with you, and I'm going to tell you this. You got to understand that as men and women, we can want the world. Sometimes the answer from God is no. And you also have to respect if God has kept the door closed because he might have wanted you to pass on certain things that went on with you to your children. So our dreams actually have to line up with our faith also, and we actually have to have a strong foundation because our faith may be the thing that fuels us in the midst of trying to accomplish our dream, or when we're dealing with the idea that our dream was never actualized. So there's a dual combination there, and so when we get that, and you have to understand that is, you may want the Kevin Hart level, but what you have now may be something that Kevin Hart is dying for. You don't know.
Amen.
You have to look and see that there's things going on with you that might have been set aside just for you at the level that you're at. We also can't allow our dreams to pull us past, and that's actually what we're going to talk about this last half an hour. We can't let our dreams pull us past actually where God really intended to be.
Hey, just to give you some props before I get offline, I want to tell you that, man, GQ Pal's got some of the best radio personalities I know, man. And this is the first time I got a chance to talk to you. Listen, I am so impressed right now. Like, I don't even tell you, man, I'm moved with so much emotions right now. And I love all y'all, man. I really love the family that I'm part of now. Man, yo, I'm very impressed, man, how the candid and how you just spoken just now. Like, you ain't bring no debative attitude about yourself. You let me speak and you brought back positive reaction to everything, man. If I was able, if we were taking the test, man, you passed. I just want to tell you that, man, I love your show. I love your show, man. That was good, man. You refreshed me, man. You just gave me a good refresher right now. You really did, man.
Tune in Wednesday night to check out Brother Rakim on Wednesday. What time Rakim on Wednesday night?
From 9 to 10 o'clock, Fallout Comedy with your boy Chicky Chick, the comedian. This is what we do, man. Like I said, I get serious sometimes too, but I told everybody on my show, I love to cry, man. And you almost moved me to tears just now, man. So, but I'm at my job right now, and I can't be crying in front of the residents. So,
no problem, brother. Listen, respect. Keep doing what you do.
We're
going to try to pop in and support you. Tell folks to come by and check us out on Thursday night. We'll try to stop in and check you out on Wednesday, brother. Respect always.
Man. I keep it cool, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Clap it up.
Now, on the line, Elijah called back in. So, you know, I know we don't have a caller come back in, but because Elijah stole my material, I'm pretty sure I stole a couple off of his papers. But, brother Elijah, you there?
I tried to say something before, but I think I might have got muted or something by mistake. I don't know. But, you know, I wish the brother was still here, but it's good. This is what conversation and dialect is all about. You know,
amen.
You said there's no right and wrong, but I still stand by, I believe wholeheartedly, that the best gift that any of us men and women can give our children is for them to see us pursue, follow our own dreams.
Yes.
You know, there are so many resources. I mean, he's not here no more, but, you know, because I feel kind of, sad, but there's, I still stick by that there's always a possibility. Even when there's kids involved, because that's the best gift you can give your children. I think maybe our culture and our society has gotten a little spoiled because there's all sorts of resources, and being in the field, I just happen to know about. I mean, there's after school program, there's tutoring lessons, there's always a way, even if you have a dream to pursue as a comedian. You know what I'm saying? If you have to go on, if you're making more money, then you're taking less stress off of the wife. Yeah, you may not be there each and every day for the kids, but just, I mean, come on, with today's social network,
Let me interject.
We ain't going to be the dead horse, but yeah, I still believe that the best gift you can give your children and the people in your lives is pursuing fulfillment of your
take why. As an educator, for the last 15 years with the Department of Education, a lot of the resources that are available are not as readily available as they used to be. Now, there are resources available and you have to search for them. But I think one of the things that we have to look at, what we have to be very careful of, is that each situation, each family unit is a separate entity when we don't know the history or the makeup of the family unit to begin with. It's real easy to say what the best thing is for from where we are.
Well, we can only comment on the information that we're given. You feel me? I mean,
that's what I'm doing is I'm taking the information given, but also what we have to be careful is, and always from teacher to whoever, especially when we're looking to educate, you have to be careful that when we give it, it still has to be given in an idea that it can be perceived and then actually used. Because what happens is, if I say this is what it is and someone doesn't get it, if I leave them in a lurch where they can't use what I've given them, it's the same as if I've given a kid a hammer but he needed a screwdriver. The hammer's a good tool, but it's the wrong tool for the situation that they're dealing with. So what we have to do is we still give the information, but we have to make sure that there's some type of teaching that goes around, which wouldn't be able to be done on the radio. But, like, I think that the greatest thing of this whole thing is that once you put the conversation into motion, it triggered the brother to call in and give his situation, and then allow Tiff and I to add to both of your situations, which gives the listeners an opportunity to go back and look at everything that we discussed, and then figure what works for them, and then maybe look for more of what all of us talked about.
Without question,
when you came on and gave the point of view, because that point of view opens up the doors for folks to go, you know, I like what Elijah said, I like what Raheem said, but you know, I like what KL said. Now let me sit down and sift through it and try to pull as much of the rich nutrients from it to hopefully change their situations to the better.
Without question.
Well, Elijah, listen, I'm not going to keep you on long because we got another caller. Me and you got to get together, man, sit down, because I got a feeling we can talk for a good couple of hours over a couple of beers and really have meaningful conversations. So we definitely going to talk.
All right, do you, man.
Brother,
I'm here.
And I hope that you'll keep listening and call in every week, because I definitely like your style.
No doubt.
And Brother Raheem definitely had some valid points. And I hope everybody listening is listening to strong men stating where they're coming from, and we definitely appreciate that. On the line, we now have Nanette, who is on the line, and she called in. Nanette, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey,
oh, good.
Hey, Tiff. Hey, Tiff. Family, how are you?
One of the hardest working women in the game, Nanette, author, published author, publisher, road warrior, Nanette Buchanan, featured in the book Wordplay 2, put out by Braven Publishing. This woman here is royalty, because I don't think she ever sleeps.
I try to.
What's going on,
I try
love?
To. Listen, ambition and visions won't let you sleep when you feel it, you know? You got to get up.
Very true. And she's always thinking and always moving and always producing. So what you got to offer to this conversation? Because I know it sparks
well,
on with you.
You know, working, I mean, I've done the mentor thing with kids, and I've done the try to talk to parents about their kids. I've done all of that, and you already know the field that I'm in now. I'm
mm-hmm.
getting the results of what happens when you don't talk to the kids and you don't include them in your vision. And I came in on the brother that was talking about, you know, how you have to have certain things already in place. And I'm here to tell you that life will not let you put everything in place.
That's just
not the way life is. You can sit down and say that you're going to make a right turn, left turn, and have your whole GPS system set up. But there's a better GPS system than man-made, and that's God's plan for success. Sometimes you want to make that right, and something is there's a detour, and you say, that's all right, I'll make the next right. Well, that might be a one-way street going the other way. And then after you get to the third street and find out you still can't turn, frustration will turn you all the way around. You might even go home and say, you know what, today's not a good day to even go there.
Very
you
true.
Know? So
every
you have to have all your weapons in line. When that vision comes and you want to work toward that vision, you have to take in accord where you are, where you're going, and how much of a load can you carry with you, knowing that your priority is your spouse and your children. You have to know that already.
Let me ask you this, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway, because I know you don't hit that road and travel alone. So when you and the hubby are sitting down and you're making the plan, does he take on that dream that you have with all the books that you write, or does he just sit back and say, I'm going to let her do her thing? And, you know, like, what role does he play? Because, again, like I said, I know the answer, but I want folks listening, because some people would believe that you do it all by yourself because they don't see him. But I don't think they really understand the foundational platform that he presents for everything that you do. So what about the hubby? What role does the hubby play?
Well, the thing about it is, in order to embrace your dreams and get your dreams, we all have a vision, and we have individual visions, as the brother said, that was speaking, that we're motivated by our own vision. You know, it comes from us first. Every man, woman, child has their own vision. okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you become a part of one as husband and wife, or you become a team in a company, or you become, you say, hey, look, let's take this road here and travel this road, everybody may not want to get on that road with you. And in the beginning, when we first got together as husband and wife, and I was jotting down poems and jotting down different things, he would say, well, what are you doing? Why are you getting up in the middle of the night to write? You know, well, why you always got to have a pad and pen with you? And you write more than you talk. Why talk to me? Why you got to write? And after a while, it became a thing where he would then ask, why aren't you writing?
Gotcha.
Hey, what are you writing about? Let me see what it is. And it changes. And sometimes it changes because people then begin to see what you're talking about. Everybody's not hands-on. Everybody can't just jump in the pool of water and say, I'm going to swim. Some people want to tread the water. Some people want to put their feet in first. Everybody's not going to swim immediately. So, no, he did not swim immediately, and I would be lying if I said he did, because he's not a writer. He doesn't understand that particular passion. But when the passion is so overwhelming, and I'm willing to share it, and I'm willing to express it, I don't hold it to myself. I talk about it. Hey, listen to this poem. You could be the first person to hear it. I need somebody to know that I wrote it, and you could be my witness because you are my partner. Oh, he listens to everything now. Anything that I write, books, chapter by chapter, anything that I do, one-liners, my posts on Facebook, anything, because now he's getting more than just the reading. He's not just the support system.
I noticed he's wearing the company shirt now, too.
Yeah. We got to do what we got to do. And you know, when you come back and you tell him what the next level is, or you tell him what the next step is, he's now to the point where he can see the vision. Hey, why don't we take this step? Why don't we take that step? And that's a part of being in a partnership, a part of being in a marriage, that you got to know that I got your back, you got my back. And even when I don't understand it, I'm going to wait till it is absorbed by me. And that's what it did. He got absorbed in it.
Is he deferring anything of his own for that sake, or has he augmented what he wants to do to fit in along with what has been your vision?
No, he actually adds value to it. In other words, there's some things that, as you well know, working with Tiff, there's some things that we'll sit back and think up as writers, and then look over to the left, look over to the right, and then they're standing right there saying, I got you. It's to the point now where he can then say, hey, we need more of these posters. Hey, you need to change that posting that you put in there. You're not getting many answers from that. I'm watching what's coming in on the website, and it's not we're not getting anywhere with that. How about we change this? So in a way, my vision has now become our vision.
Gotcha. Plus, you take time away from the vision to run it back to the two of you, because you're like Tiff and I. When we travel somewhere for a weekend, once we've done the business thing,
we enjoy ourselves. We enjoy ourselves, and we enjoy whether the vision whether the goal was accomplished or not. It could be 10 sales or no sales. When we close that suitcase, we go ahead. I'd rather have the 10. When we close that suitcase and say that we're done with books for today, we go and have a good time. And that enhances the relationship. Because out of it now has brought a closeness that we might not have went away for the weekend. We might not have got out and just went to a restaurant and ate. We might not have sat across from each other and said, hey, how you feeling about this, or how you feel now that the day is done?
Gotcha.
So it brings a certain amount of closeness. But what I really wanted to express was, in that, even though my children are grown, I don't have any little children. And well, KL stole the heart of the youngest one. But all I have is my grands. So when it comes time to say what's in place, it includes them as well, and they're not even in my home.
I got you.
Because my vision is to leave them something. I don't want to just be a person that people knew wrote. I want to leave some type of legacy. I did it when I was a mentor. I did it when I was an instructor. I want to leave a legacy for my family to be proud of. And in doing that, you have to include them. You have to include them.
I think you said something at the beginning, which is very important, which what I was saying to Brother Rakim when he called in, is that sometimes the Lord puts roadblocks in our way just to keep us in a certain place.
Yes.
Because we could want the world. But the Lord may say, well, I'm only giving you a small piece of it because that's all I want for you right now for you. But if we get too focused on things that are outside that realm, and I feel personally, and I know Tip and I talk about this often, is that you have to have a sound understanding of your dream and then a sound, even sounder understanding of your faith. Because one can't override the other, because at the end of the day, faith will always win out. Now, it may be to a negative disposition if you push it too hard, but you also have to, and that's what I was talking about earlier in the when I was saying, where's that line drawn? For me, when things that Tiff wants to do is going to be opposite what our faith is, then I'm going to say something, and she's the same for me. We don't allow anything that we do, dream or anything else, push our faith in a particular way. And actually, our faith drives a lot of the communication when we're working on the plans for our dream. Like, as a husband, I love my wife and I honor her to such a degree that when she says something, I make sure I give it its due so I can say, are you sure you want to do that? Because as a husband, if I think it's something that's going to hurt her, even though she may believe that it's something that she truly loves, even though I know what I'm about to say is going to maybe tear her heart apart, if I know it's going to hurt her in the long run, then I have to sit down and say, baby, listen, check what I'm about to say, and then she's going to trust. And I'm not saying it just to try to take away her dream. It's because I love her enough to say, you could get hurt going that way.
We might, and the thing about it, the blessing in the relationship, the blessing in the relationship itself is to say, you know, if I can't be honest with you and I can't tell you nay when you think it's the best way, then we have an issue, not with what we're dreaming, not with what our vision is, but where we're going with the dream.
Exactly.
The dream can't be possible if we can't bounce from each other the reasons. And like you said, it has to have not only the faith in our God, it has to be the faith in each other.
True.
It has to be the blessing within each other that we could look at each other and say, honestly, if no one else will be honest with me, it has to be you. If no one else will tell me that's crazy, or we're not going to be able to do that, or we don't have the money to stretch that far, somebody has to be the voice of reason. And no matter how hard we pray, reason doesn't always come that way. We have to depend on each other. We have to.
You know what? You know, you and I could go on for a long time and speak towards the end now. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Annette Buchanan. And let me tell you something. Nana, give them your information and tell them the name of the two books that you have coming out or that are out right now. Give them your website information and give them the information on your latest project.
Okay, my website is www.ipendesigns.net, and I got two beautiful books out, Wordplay 2 by Braven Publishing. My brother KL told me that I had to be in it, and it racked my brain. I just want y'all to know that. But I must say, some of the best poetry that I've written is now in Wordplay 2. So please join us. It's 13 poets and 12 topics, and the book is explosive. If you're looking for that inspirational day by day, a little insight, just a little poetry to get you through some of your situations, we talk about some necessary topics for everyday living. My novel, which is what I do, KL, with this poetry stuff, which is what I do. My novel is Scattered Pieces, and it's a very deep novel about a woman who mistakenly overdosed, and she's saved by faith, by people believing in her, and she goes through a ritual to get herself back together. So those are my two novels, and they are out. well, one novel and one poetry book, and they are out.
Excellent.
And thanks,
excellent.
KL, for being who you are. And
Nana,
Tiff, all my love to the both of you.
Thank you.
We thank you for calling in, guys. That's Nanette Buchanan. Let me tell you something. That's my sounding board, and I've been in this game 5 years, and she's one of the few people who I can call and I trust with everything that we talk about, and we've traveled to quite a number of events together, and we've seen the good and the bad, and because we're both
independent.
And her
husband is always by her side, too.
Always. Both wonderful couple. And you know what? And you can see the love that they have. And yes, her little one, we had the wonderfulest time in Delaware cutting up the storm. But she's great people. So make sure you stop by her website. Make sure that you pick up the books. And yes, she is a member of Wordplay, too. Our latest book that we put out through our publishing company. We are so proud of the work that we did with this book because I believe that the lineup that we chose is really reflective of what Tiff and I are trying to present to the world as literary service providers, as publishers. And so definitely make sure you stop by our website also, www.bravenpublishing.com. All of our titles are there, but that is our latest, number 13 of the books that we've published to date. So, honey, as we creep up to 10 o'clock, another tremendous show because I love what the callers brought, and your mom seemed to start it off. But I love what the quote is. And shout out to Elijah. Shout out to Rakim. Shout out to Nanette because, you know what, this is what folks of color need to do to be able to come to the table, bring their points of view, to be able to discuss it. I pray that we helped someone tonight as they listened in. This is something that we may have to revisit in the future. We're definitely going to look to do some things with future conversations. So I just want to thank them for calling in and giving us their time. And Brother Elijah, man, we got to talk about your notes, man, because somehow you must have peeked in here and stole my notes because the brother basically gave my whole thing, man. I don't know, but I respect that because I know exactly where the brother was coming from. And Rakim, I'm an emotional dude too, man, but I try not to lay by crying. My wife be giving me the business when I be in here crying. So respect to you and all the hard work that you're doing with you and your queen. Any final thoughts, Dollar?
Well, my final thoughts on support is it's a give and take. Sometimes you have to evaluate the relationship and decide what's better for all. And if that means that you need to make your own personal sacrifices or you need to sit down and see what sacrifices need to be made, then do so. But nothing feels better than the support of your partner in helping you fulfill your dreams. And having that sounding board, that shoulder to cry on, that encouraging word. I always say having my own personal motivational speaker gets me through every day. So we have to work on our relationships and learn how to talk to each other and learn how to support each other as a people. Anything you want to say, honey?
Yeah, I want to say to everyone listening, you know, my wife and I are real folks. We don't sugarcoat anything, and we're not perfect, and we don't have all the things that we would like in life. But we're rich in the idea that we know we love each other. We've seen the power of what that love can actually accomplish, and we try to give it away to as many other people as possible. And this show is one of the vehicles that we're using, and what we hope is that from this show, you take something that we've given and run with it or try to heal someone or yourself, whoever. And if you need to reach us, come by our website, www.bravenpublishing.com. Leave us a message. Come by our Facebook page, Making Marriage Cool Again, because we actually have a seminar where we're trying to help folks with their marriages because we want folks to be as happy as we are. We don't want to be selfish with this and just, ooh, look at us, we're having a great time. We want to heal the communities that we came from. We want to see things differently in the lives of the children coming up behind us so they can say, I knew a married couple like KL and Tiffany. I knew a married couple like Rakim and his queen. I knew a couple like Nanette and her husband and Elijah and his wife. I don't know if he said he was married, but his wife. But I and hers. I want folks to be able to understand that these things are possible if we sit down and do the things necessary. And finally, nothing is possible without the Lord. Tip and I are a faith-based couple because we know that the Lord is the anchor to everything that we do. If that's not the case for you, I understand it and I can respect it. But for us, we wouldn't have any of the things that we have if it wasn't for the Lord things for us. So we hope that this has been moving to you, and we hope that every Thursday from 8 to 10, you'll tune in. And God bless. Good night.
Good night.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Ooh, no, no.
Yeah. We've had some ups and downs. Made a lot of bad mistakes.
Bad mistakes.
But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down. Ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You.
Rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.